This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Welcome back. It's Kelly and Company, Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show. I know you're not supposed to do this, but did you have a favorite clip? The kids aren't here. They won't hear you say anything.
Okay, don't cover your ears, guys. Well, I gotta say, the one with the harmonies obviously was like my type of clip, you know, because music and harmonies specifically.
Well,
always melts my heart.
I do like that. I do like the voice change, but I really can't because they were so good. And if, from someone who's always played around with audio and likes doing stuff like that and had to do it, you know, the old fashioned ways before digital, you know, I look at what these guys can do now in their sleep. And I know they'll sit there and say, are you kidding? I mean, I did have to take time to learn at least an hour or so. So I just think it's so wonderful. So really, really love that, guys. And, definitely, that communications class is certainly earning their grades. Once a month, we get a chance to talk a little bit about something important to us, and especially our next guest, woodworking. Let's bring on the actor himself, Jeff Thompson.
Let's talk wood. We're talking practical and safe woodworking. Hi, I'm Jeff Thompson. Welcome to the Woodpile.
So we're going to talk about sanding in just a moment. Mr. Thompson wanted to, as we were talking about the Disability Film Challenge, Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge last Thursday on our roundtable, and we got a good pitch about the film that you starred in. It was wonderful when I heard originally that you were going to be in this. You were in with us when we did A Wonderful Life before Christmas. So now I think it's safe to say it's Jeff Thompson, the actor himself. Welcome back.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Jeff turns towards his microphone and speaks.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit how you got into that. How did this come to be?
Well, Marilee Talkington, who runs AAA, as we call it, Access Acting Academy, had some classes. I got into a voice class, and then she had some acting opportunities. I jumped on into it. And then this came up for the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. And boom, there I was, and I got to do the audio description, which, like most things, it's the last thing added because everything needed to be edited. So it was kind of interesting. It was really neat to meet everybody.
Yeah, we must admit, you know, bringing them on was Annette Dennis's kind of initiative, asking, hey, do you think to publicize we can bring them on to talk about the films, including Mary Lee's. And it was really nice to do so. And then when we saw, Jeff Thompson, well, you know, our chest stuck out because, wow, a couple of our contributors from the program are in the film challenge. Yep. It was sort of like when we got to meet
some really good people and, you know, two teams of visually impaired and blind. That was really neat.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that's what we felt too, having so many of us involved with It's a Wonderful Life. So really good work, sir. Thank you very much for the great entertainment and the good watch with it. And hopefully people have gone out and checked out the Easter Seals Film Challenge and watched the films and some really cool stuff that was done. And you can check back to last Thursday's roundtable for all the information via the Kelly and Company podcast. Today we're talking about sanding and finishing wood, protecting what you already have in your project. So, Jeff, let's start with, what tool are we using to do the sanding?
Today we're going to be talking about the palm sander, and that's something that you hold in your hand. Has a lot of good uses for it, and it's a well-needed thing in the shop.
Can you describe it? When you say you hold in your hand, you know, I still use a lot, of course, of the handled sander. This is a bit smaller.
Yeah, it's about the size of, I don't know if you ever played air hockey or something, but that little paddle that you hang on to.
Yep.
It fits into your hand, so it's nice and comfortable. And you cut your own sandpaper for it. So a sheet of sandpaper, if you cut it into quarters, usually fits in there really good. So you swap out the sandpaper as you use it. Mm-hmm. And you go in a direction. It vibrates. So when you start it up, it's just this, and then you put it down on the wood and you go in the direction of the grain and you sand, but it has a foam backing. So it's a little soft, but it does a good job for large surfaces.
Nice, nice.
So this is...
Sorry, Rum. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify. This is electric.
Yeah, I mean, they do have battery ones, but typically if you're going to be sanding, you're going to be sanding for a while. So it's one of those things. Yeah, it's electric, but you need a couple batteries. You know, you don't want to be. It's one of those things, kind of like a power drill sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have the big power drill. So I use an electric one.
Okay. You mentioned already the pad, the foam back, and cutting our sandpaper into quarters. So I'm curious, do we sand flat surfaces? Is that where we're starting at, or is that the majority of it?
Well, typically, you're doing some flat surfaces, just giving it some smooth. It depends on if you're, you know, refinishing or if you're doing something brand new. But you usually want flat surfaces. Now, with the foam backing, just like if you take your hand and you press it against a surface, it can cup around things and all that. So with the foam, if you come to the edges or if there's a design in it, it'll wrap and bend. So it'll start curving things off a little bit. So with a palm sander, I just like doing the flat surfaces. But if you get good at it, you can start doing rounding things. But hopefully it's intentional that you're doing that.
So as an example, how about that picture frame we made last time?
Perfect example there. Flat surfaces, you're going around it, you're going in the direction of the grain. But when you come to where they intersect, like at a T, let's say, where you're going to have two different terrain, you got to just remember what surface you have going there. So you don't want to be, you know, you want to make it flat and stuff, but you want to predominantly finish up and go in the direction of the grain. So on the top piece, going left to right, on the side pieces, going up and down. That's the way it's sitting in my mind.
Yes.
But yeah, you want to go in the long direction. But then when you come to the edges, that's where you want to preserve the edges. If you want a nice crisp edge, some things look better when they're crisp. Some things rounded off is fine. But if you want it, that's when we'll switch to what I call block sanding.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, can we go to the block in just a moment? I just want to, when you're sanding that smooth surface we were talking about, is there something, Jeff, we should watch for in as we're smoothing it out to the way we like it, the texture we want it? It's because I'm sure sometimes you want it really smooth, soft, almost if you want to call it that, to the touch. Other times you may want to still keep a little bit of that coarseness. Being blind, it is still really fully a touch thing to do. Sure, you may be able to look down and see a coarseness to wood, but any of us saying, well, how will I know that it's as sanded as much as it should be?
Well, I heard one student of mine yell across the room and they said, lick it. If you get a sliver on your tongue or something of that nature, which made me think for a second, like, huh, you know, the thing is we start out with sandpaper, which has a grit, and starting with a low number. So if you have point A to point B, if you put 80 pieces of sand in between those two points, that would be called 80 grit. And then you get up into like jewelry level where you're getting up into like 600 pieces of very tiny sand would fit between that same spot. So you start out with 80 grit, go to 100, 120, 180. And once you get near that 200 mark, you should be like, you know, ready for typically in just regular wood projects, ready to sand. But if, like you mentioned, if you do want to retain some of the integrity of the wood a little bit, don't go as high up because you'll take everything, you'll make it so smooth that it's just, you know, some things look like rustic, a look to something kind of looks better where it's not sanded too fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that's an interesting point because I'm not sure if, especially for beginners, if we would know what that feels or looks like, or, you know, the timing of how much you've been sanding for will determine.
Exactly. But the feel is everything. And typically when you're feeling something, it's already been has a finish on it. So, you know, you don't really feel it if it has like a polyplastic on it that doesn't, you know. I like feeling the wood, so that's why I always use something like a tung oil finish where it absorbs into it. But another trick is if you really want it fine finish right before you get done, take some water on a on a cloth, get it damp, and wipe it down, and it'll raise the parts of the grain. There's two main parts of the grain. One is the lines in it. The other is the, I don't know the scientific names for it, but it'll swell up a little bit. Wood will swell up a little bit. And once it swells up a little bit, sand that down. And that way, when you put your varnish on, it won't swell up. You took off that little part that's going to swell up a little bit. So that's a neat little trick to it.
That's a good thing, one.
Yeah. The other thing is with a palm sander, it vibrates a lot. And it has a motor on it, which gives off air. So it's going to, that dust, we want to wear a mask, and we have lots of masks around here, but you want to wear a good ventilated mask. And some of them come with like a vacuum attachment to it. So you can have a little hose running to it, so it'll start collecting it. The main thing is health, and, you know, cleanliness is one thing, but your lungs is the main thing here. So I would highly suggest having some type of downdraft, sanding area, something to, or do it outside on the patio. Let it go back to the earth.
That's it. Anything we should do, concern ourselves, anything else about keeping us from damaging the wood?
Well, edges. When you're sanding along, some people, what I found out when I was teaching students, a lot of times, they just keep sanding and they forget to check to see if the sandpaper is worn out. If you keep coming to an edge, you'll wear out a piece of sandpaper. It'll cut itself. It'll flop off. You'll be sanding with that foam pad. Then they'll go down. But you can, as for the wood itself, I would say if you rocking, some people get tricky with it, the edges of it. If you don't get the paper on there right on a palm sander up on the front and back end where it clamps on, there is some metal stuff. So some people want to lean into it and push. I let the vibration do the work. I don't, you know, it's not one of those things where the muscles are going to do all the work. This is a process where the vibration and use the sandpaper like someone else is paying for it, because that brand new sandpaper is really good stuff.
Want to tell us about the block sander a little?
You know, the block sander is really cool. If you want to keep the integrity of the project that you have, like say you have a couple edges on it or layers, or, you know, like near the edge, if you have a design in it, you just don't want to take your hand and wrap around it and start sanding, because you'll take the whole design away from it. So to preserve that, what I do is I take a block of wood about the size of a iPhone 12 or something, and then take some spray adhesive, and I just give it a shot of that, and then slap on my sandpaper on it and wrap it over it and hang on to it that way. And that way I can go along with a hard surface and it'll just do the hard edge. It won't wrap around the corner of the edge, like of the frame that we were working on. And then if you want to do the sides, you can do those. And then throw that piece away and grab another one, or glue some onto the other side. It's just a way of keeping the integrity of it. And, you know, some people buy these blocks that you can put stuff into it, but everybody's got a little piece of wood sitting around like that. And with a can of spray adhesive, just give it a shot. Or sometimes you can just wrap it around something, but you just don't want to use your hand unless you're like going for an inside curve. Even on inside corners, you can wrap around the block and put the block into the corner, move it back and forth. Long, steady strokes. None of the you're done, you know, just you like those sound effects.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But straight ahead, straight forward, straight back, and then investigate what you're doing. Like you said, that touch. And we got great touch. It's amazing how many people in woodworking, when I was teaching, visually impaired, blind, the sanding is where they get really hone in on.
Do you want to explain grit a bit more to us?
The grit. Like if you start out like asphalt, that's if you've ever fallen on your bike or something, that's real coarse. And then there's stuff that's real smooth. So that the grit itself is, if we want to shape something, we want to use some 80 grit. We want to use some really coarse stuff. And say we want to put a little edge or round off the corners ourselves by hand, that's where you do it. But as you move up the line, when you get up into your 120, up in your 200 and stuff, that's where you're just basically taking out the scratches that you're doing to the wood from the sandpaper, and you're getting it real fine to a point where the finish that you put on it, like I use the tongue oil, it'll go on there and you buff it up and pretty soon, you know, you won't even notice it. And now's a great time for the doing your finishing work because we got the change of the season. Your furnace is shutting down a little bit more and you're going to be turning on air conditioner or dehumidifier. So there's going to be a lot more moisture. So now's a good time to protect the wood with a finish or a paste wax. Put that on, buff it on. What is it? Wax on, wax off.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Always use a clean rag and always remember if you're going to use tongue oil or some type of finishing stuff to get the rags outside, air dry them and don't store them indoors.
Okay. Is tongue oil the best option? Is there anything else we should consider in terms of like safety and stuff?
Well, tongue oil is made from a nut from China. Comes from a bush, I believe it is. But if you're allergic to nuts or something like that, not sure that you're eating it, but don't use that stuff like on wood silverware or some. I suppose it wouldn't be wood silver. It would be woodware. That's interesting. But utensils for like bowls, like they make, some people make bowls out of wood and stuff like that. So you wouldn't want to use it on there if you're allergic to nuts and stuff like that. But the polys are more toxic. They're harder to breathe, and tongue is more of a natural type of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but safety first, a lot of ventilation, and wear a mask, and you know, don't let those rags sit around over the empty containers. I always take them outside. I hang them over the garbage can a little bit, let them air out before I even throw them in there, because you don't want to put that in a confined area.
No. Sir, how often do we need to polish or wax our wood projects?
Like I was saying, about the time of the season change, or depending on the wear, you know, I mean, if you have a table that you do, I just did my table and chairs and it takes a little while. I save old socks. If you ever get a sock and like the heel starts to go out, I save those because you can just turn them inside out one way. And then when you're polishing and waxing, you know, you apply with one side, turn it inside out and polish with the other side and then throw it away. I mean, it's get more use out of repurposing old socks. Not that everyone should do it, but I do that with sweatshirts as well. I cut them up and I just have them sitting in a box in the shop. But change of the seasons is the best time to start to, you know, consider doing that type of protection. Like the seat in the chair, that gets a lot more wear than other things.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, sir, next time you're with us, we're going to cover off clamps, straps, and gluing. We'll get all that taken care of. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next
month. All right. Have a good one.
We talk woodworking on the fourth Tuesday of every month with Jeff Thompson. In a moment, we'll wrap up the show and see what's going on tomorrow on Now with Dave Brown.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.